Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Welcome to this day 5 of our presentation during our retreat. Before I start, in earnestness, I would like to point out to this treasure which has been either handed into your hands or you can still obtain it. It's the Vaishnav Sharana prayer, surrender to the Vaishnavas by a reformed Vaishnav Aparadi, Devakinandan Das Thakur, who has given us a manual to back up our daily practice of paying obeisances to each other with this Vanchakalpatarubhaischa prayer. The manual takes us step to by step to the through the different devotees, and it's really widening the circle, almost like if a stone falls into the lake and concentric circles expand. So first the devotees in Vrindavan are worshipped, and then finally all over the world and all paths, phases of time, past, present and future. And a reason is given why we are so much worshipping these devotees, because it is through these devotees that our goal, prema, can be reached. If you want to have water, at least in the West, you have to open the pipe, water pipe. So if you wish to have Krishna's mercy and finally prema, you have to open the heart of the devotees through which this item for which we are greedy comes. So this song is very good. It's a prayer manual. Please take it and read it from time to time. And good. So I would like to now start with this session of the Krishna Lila Stava prayer. I want to first give you a few informations about this book. For a long, long time, this book was not existent. It was lost. No one even had a manuscript of it. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had given one instruction to one scholar. His name is Haridas Baba, who opened the Haribol Kutir in Navadvip. And he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur told him he should compile an encyclopedia of Vaishnava writings and knowledge about Vaishnavism, everything, historical accounts, scriptures, etc., etc. I believe nowadays there are attempts in some internet web pages to really make a library available to the devotees and scholars. So that has always been seen as a great necessity to perpetuate a tradition. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also wanted this to be done by this Haridas Baba. Haridas Baba did a wonderful work, but he was sad in his heart because he could not find anywhere a copy of this rare Vaishnav, this prayer and pranam manual, Sri Krishna Lila Stava. And he grew increasingly anxious as he grew older. Where can I find Sri Krishna Lila Stava? So once he came again to Vrindavan on parikrama, on pilgrimage, and he sat on the Yamuna. And as he sat on the Yamuna, he again became very dejected. I need this book. I need to preserve it. I need to make it available to the Vaishnavs. But I exhausted my means and my knowledge to spot it or locate it. So finally, he just started to cry. As he was crying, he saw a bundle floating down the Yamuna, and something told him, look at this bundle. And so he went up, he waded into the Yamuna, he secured the bundle, and when he opened it, he found different Vaishnava scriptures in the bundle. And amongst these Vaishnava scriptures, he found a handwritten copy that was written down on palm leaves of Sanatan Goswami's Krishna Lila Stava. He couldn't believe that this was authentic, and he took it and compared the handwriting to other testified and authorized manuscripts of Sanatan Goswami. And he saw, yes, this was the Krishna Lila Stava, which was composed and written, handwritten down by Sanatan Goswami. And then this book became copied and copied and copied again. And one of the copies is this here, a modern copy, a modern print, which has been translated by Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and published by our BBT publishing house. And it is my sincere request to you to search your heart for any possible impulse. And if you find that impulse which tells you purchase a copy of this book, then run after this seminar and follow this impulse. It's a good impulse. I will, however, warn you that this book is entirely different from other reading matters you are familiar with. It's a book of practice, and nowhere else in our Vaishnav literature have I seen the Spota theory come to life as much as here. The Spota theory says that you can't really understand Vaishnava literature unless and until it gets revealed to you. Spota means it's an explosion, much like a firework, where you first see only a boring external thing, and then when it explodes, when the spark comes, you see forms and rain and different things. So Vaishnav literature needs to be revealed by two things: grace of a spiritual master, and also your own practice, your own endeavor to practice the tenets, that means the content. And if you do so, then the meaning of the scriptures gets revealed to you. And this especially holds true when you read Krishna Lila Stava. Today, we will again enter into the practice of combining meditation with prayer and with obeisances, and maybe you will have your breakthrough experience. I had a few devotees coming to me and saying, Maharaj, what do you do to us? You have seem to be a surgeon. I bowed down yesterday and I prayed and I saw something in the heart which I thought I will see it in 10 million lifetimes. And I said, it's nothing, has nothing to do with me. It's really the book and the process which Sanatana Goswami describes there, which if you follow it, brings about the revelation of a content. By the way, this whole what you learn, you can apply obviously for the Bhagavad Gita and other things as well. Good. For those who are not yet 100% convinced and do not yet know and still grasp for an orientation, I will I will read to you now three verses from Hari Bhakti Vilas about offering obeisances. Just by offering obeisances to Lord Hari, even once, a devotee can attain his transcendental abode. It's Hari Bhakti Vilas 8, text 367. And a little later, those who offer obeisances not only once, but every day to the Supreme Lord, who is unlimited, the destroyer of demons, and beginningless, they can avoid taking a trip to the abode of Yamaraj. I mean, we all will have to die, but it's good if we don't have to see some Yavani, that's the capital town of Yamaraj, which is really the, I mean, Hare Krishna. Now, because this is a divine process where anyone who enters it touches in some ways the lotus feet of Krishna, even a duplicitous person who offers obeisances has great benefit from it. And Hari Bhakti Vilas points that out. Even if one offers obeisances to Lord Hari with duplicity, all of his sinful reactions that have accumulated during hundreds of previous lives are at once eradicated. I knew about this verse once when I took a group of scholars to Vrindavan, and we came to a spot of Krishna's deity, where there was a Radharaman deity. It was in the Radharaman temple, and I said to them, why don't we now make a religious investigation? Let's all pay an obeisance to Radharaman just out of religious curiosity and research and see what happens. And there was one scholar who, I mean, I don't want to tell his name in case he hears about it, who is so duplicitous you can't believe it. He later became the anti-sect hunter, the witch hunter in Germany. And he pursued these poor religious groups with a favor, fervor, you know, intensity, that really I thought who was this guy from the Inquisition time, the rebirth of this. And I knew he was interested previously in Rajneesh. I knew that because he had borrowed me a book on Rajneesh. And he was so but he never attacked the Hare Krishna movement. He never did this because I think he had offered an obeisance to Radharaman with duplicity. But there was some benefit. Some sinful reactions had been taken. So if you believe in obeisances or not, do them. and you will see you touch transcendence and transcendence works on you. Or to put it in a more Vaishnav language, you see that Krishna is pleased in some ways and helps you. So it's very powerful, and therefore I think it behooves us to really understand how to maximize our knowledge of paying obeisances and doing it right. So we will now do this. We will enter into, I would say, the most difficult section of Krishna Lila Stava, that is the ending. The ending of Krishna Lila Stava is amazing. It is simply very, very, very spiritual, because the author leaves us with a feeling of separation from Krishna in his heart, in our hearts. Do you know which other author takes this literary device? Shukadev Goswami. The last chapter of the Bhagavatam finds us, you know, different devotees calling out to Krishna, saying, the queen say, I remember one verse, my dear ocean, you cannot sleep in the night and you moan and groan. You must be just, you are just like us. We also can't sleep in the night because we are thinking of Krishna. With feelings of separation. Are you also thinking of Krishna, my dear ocean? That's why you are awake in the night, calling out, calling out. Some of you, or most of you, are most probably attending the morning classes, Bhajan in Separation, where we have heard why this feeling. Oh, Krishna, I need you, I want you, is so absolutely beneficial in bhakti. The word vipralamba is divided in two Sanskrit words, vipra and lamba. Vipra means in the distance, and alamba means to attain. If you have vipralamba, that means feelings of separations in your heart from Krishna. You feel really, oh Krishna, where are you? Then you attain Krishna, who is in the distance, for you at this moment. And the way this works is, psychologically, I can only explain it psychologically, that when you are separated by space from someone, there is an external separation. But if you at the same time think of him always or her always, then there is a meeting in the heart, which is very accurate. I would like to give you an example of my grandma, Oma Pettersson. Her name is Oma Pettersson, who had two children. No, she actually had only one child. The other child was already in the marriage. That's a secret no one knows. From the first marriage of my grandfather, there was a woman, but the woman, there was a daughter, and this daughter died together with her mother. And then my grandfather married a second time, Oma Pettersson, and they had one child who is my father. Only one child, not two or three, one. And this child came under the influence of the Nazis, like everyone else in Germany, and went to war with Russia. Then news came after some time that the Germans had been defeated near Stalingrad and Leningrad and captured, and most of the army had been wiped out by the winter and by the Red Army, the Russians. Now, everyone in Germany, amongst my relatives, thought my father had also been killed because he had been fighting in Stalingrad against the Russians. And that, I mean, no one survived that. Only my Oma, his mother, always said, no, Ernst Günther, that's the name of my father, Ernst Günther still lives. Everyone thought she is motherly, emotionally a little bit worked up and not in contact with reality any longer. But my grandma, Oma Pettersson, just loved her child so much that she would always be with him in thought. And one day, she announced, in 2 weeks, Ernst Günther will come home. Everyone went, poor lady, poor lady. In 2 weeks, a cat will come through the gate of the garden, but not Ernst Günther. The day came closer, and when the day came, which she had said would be the day my father would return home from the frontier, the last frontier of the Germans in Russia, my grandmother started to go into the kitchen and cook a feast for Ernst Günther. I even know the preparation, Grießbrei, which was the favorite preparation of my father and still is. So then at 12 o'clock or 12:30, the house was full with people. You know, because the Germans lost so many houses in the bombing, so that everyone went into the houses which still stood, and my ancestral house was still standing, so to say, and it was full with occupants. At 12:30, everyone heard the screech of the garden door, the garden gate. And everyone ran to the windows. Later I was told it looked as if the house would fall down to gravitation. Everyone wanted to see. And there he came. My father came through the garden gate. He looked a little like a bird who had survived a good shooting. war marked by the science of war, but he was alive. He was emaciated, and my grandmother ran out of the door, embraced him and said, Ernst Günther, your Grießbrei is ready. Then my father took his Grießbrei. She was connected by feeling so much, where is he? I can't survive without him. That he lived in her heart, and in some ways there was a connection with him over the distance. So this is a mundane example which is meant to bring out some principles. If you can think of Krishna with feelings of separation, my Lord, somehow I left you. I'm now in this ocean of birth and death. I'm in an unfavorable situation. I want to give you all of my attention, but I can't, because the senses and the mind pull me always away from you. Now, but please, you are the king of the kingdom of love. You should please invest in my case. Please help me so that I can think of you, and fix me as one of the specks of dust at your soothing lotus feet. No? If you can get into this mood, you will feel Krishna sporting in your heart. You will feel Krishna's presence in the heart. So feelings of separation, Viparalamba, is the methodology offered by the Gaudiya Acharyas, which can help us to attain what is hidden in the distance. Vipra, the distance, alamba, to attain. And it is a meditation in Vipralamba which Sanatana Goswami chooses as the last meditation as far as Krishna's Leelas is concerned. He is not yet ready with offering obeisances, because he wants to complete 108, and this picture which we will now enter, or this obeisance, is obeisance 102. But this is how he ends the meditation about the Leelas. It's very, very moving, and it requires your mental presence. I would like to, just before, I would like to now talk about one other point, then I would like to give you a little pause so that you can prepare yourself, and then I would like to invite you for this last meditation on Krishna's pastimes. But first, I want to highlight with a song, don't worry, I won't sing, with a song, this point that feeling separations from Krishna is bringing Krishna onto the throne of our heart. I will read to you from another prayer manual, which is extremely valuable for your Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, it's Prarthana, and Prabhupada writes about this. So read Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Prarthana. They are very, very valuable for advancement of spiritual understanding, especially Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana. So by reading them, by understanding them, we can understand Krishna very easily. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult to understand Krishna. Now, in Song 28, Narottam Das Thakur gives us his ideal life, his life mission, how he wants to live his life. It's very much connected to Vrindavan. It's full of desires to give up all types of sense gratification. See, when you feel separation from Krishna, this will only come if you give up your other sense gratification. Then only can you sincerely desire Krishna. So he says, when will I give up all material sense gratification and accept only a water pot, loincloth, and torn garments. When will I develop attachment for Krishna and go to live in the Nikunja groves of Braj? O Lord Hari, when will that auspicious day come? And then he talks about what he will do in Vrindavan. He says how he wants to wander around in Vrindavan like a mendicant, eating roots and fruits. At the end of the day, he doesn't need a bathroom any longer. He says, I will wander around, and then I see Jamuna, and then I will bathe in Jamuna ji. I will raise my hands, crying out the names of Radha, Krishna. And then he wants to visit all the holy places like Sankit. What will he do there? Well, he will simply roll on the ground in loving ecstasy. No. And his burning heart will be satiated. And then he will just call out like a madman, "Where is she, Radha?" No, they're not like this. "Where is she, Radha?
My life and soul.
And where is Giri Baradhari?
My beloved Lord."
And then he gets an answer where they are. Listen to this answer. He describes that as he runs around calling, "Where's Radha? Where is Giri Baradhari?" That's the name of Giridhari Krishna, who lifted the Govardhan Hill. He will also need a little rest, so he will go under one tree like this. We can just imagine Narottam Das Thakur singing there. And there, on the tree, he will see a male and a female parrot, and they will parrot talk. Like here, you can hear. I think that was one. See? Like that. So he is under a tree. And then he will, because he's so much agitated in his heart with thoughts of Krishna, he will hear how the bird chirping is telling him the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Listen to this. "As the male and female parrots sing of the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna while sitting in a Madhavi Kunj, I will sit under the tree the whole day and listen to them, and my burning heart will find relief." And now, see, this is someone who really lives Vipralamba Bhava. He is not a faint-hearted pretender. He's really there. He wants to find Radha and Krishna. And as we have said, when that feeling is there, then all of a sudden you see those who are hiding in the distance. And the last verse of this song ends with this. "Then I will see my lords Govinda, Gopinath, and Srimati Radhika as they happily sit together on a jeweled throne. Poor Narottam Das prays for such a rare vision." So, the feelings of separations have always been taken as the private road to Krishna Darshan. Yesterday we spoke about a public road where you just follow what everyone does, but your mind is somewhere else. Today we speak about the private road, putting or awakening your hearts with feelings of Vipralamba, with desires of Vipralamba, and then through these feelings seeing the not yet seen divine couple arising in the throne of the heart. Srila Prabhupada, by the way, said that Hare Krishna chanting should be done in this mood
mood where the devotee calls out for Radha and Krishna and meditates about their divine presence on the throne of the heart, and in this way feels connection. So I want to now give you a little pause. It will be a Gayatri pause of 10 minutes. Please be punctual. Please respect this, because we really will need our best effort to enter into this last obeisances of Sanatana Goswami on Krishna's Leela.